Alan Kring Productions, in association with the Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, academic lectures in business and economics. This is International Financial Management, FIL 344, for spring semester 2022. Today, forecasting exchange rates with regression analysis. What we do with this is we're grabbing some data off wherever we can find it. Now, one of the best data sets, although I will say a few qualifiers about it here in a minute, is the FRED database, the Federal Reserve's economic database. It's got so many different data vectors, it's ridiculous. About anything you would possibly want, FRED has, by heaven. And the only unfortunate part was, of all the data vectors that they don't have, and I had never even thought of this, they don't have the historical forward rate. I'm going to do euro and dollar exchange rate, see what we can do with a regression analysis for it. And you know what? It would just drove me crazy trying to find the forward rates historically for the U.S. dollar versus the euro, or for anything in FRED. I don't think they have that one. So I just was howling around. I thought, well, there's got to be someplace. Boy, that one is hard to find. Now, I have a feeling I could put it together from xrates.com, which is an exchange rates website, very well respected. But I was just going there. I thought, well, I'll just grab it there. They have it by month, so I'd have to put a composite, build a spreadsheet from all of that. Now, resources tab in ReggieNet, I've got a folder I put in there called data. I did some heavy lifting so you don't have to. I pulled in the interest rate on a 10-year bond, the U.S. Treasury, and the euro. And, well, let me show you what I did. And this is all for you because I love you so much. And I don't want to see you suffer. hang on here. Let me get this up here. There we go. Come on. Really? I am trying to unmute this. There, okay. Yeah, as you can see, I was digging. Let me show you what I mean here. I thought, well, I can find an X-Rates, but the problem was that X-Rates, first of all, is going to give you a chart, and I'd have to see how I could pull, oh, there it is, right there. Drag those down and put them into an Excel sheet month by month, year by year, and that was a way too much like work. But let me show you what I do have here for you. Here's some dinner for you. Oops, that was the wrong place. Let me come back up here, resources tab, and economic data. There it is. Exchange rate data, I should say. Okay, so now this one is just the euro 10-year constant maturity. In other words, they're saying new issue euro, 10-year, here's its yield. Just keep walking it forward in time. And then you'll also have the U.S. Treasury yields. And then you're going to have in here the inflation rates, if you want to look at those as driving the exchange rates. As we saw, it could be inflation, it could be exchange. You could use both of them if you wanted to. Now, what I did here, and the one I didn't have in here was the forward rates. I thought, well, I'll show that to you. Nope, I can't get that one. So I'm going to pull this full data sheet up here for you. And what I did was I put in the euro exchange, the U.S. euro exchange rate. I put in the 10-year U.S. Treasury, the Treasury bond yield, and the euro government 10-year bond yield. And they all had, now obviously the U.S. bond yield data goes back in history to whatever, to the 1930s or 40s or something like that. The euro data is going to go back only to the first day of January 1999. You'll find that whenever you are pulling in data sets, your shortest data set is going to be the one that drives how much data you get from the whole shebang of them. So in this case, now inflation data, I could get back further than 1999, but because I had the yields were going to be, was going to be essentially the killer for all of them. And I'm putting this up here. These are separate. You can pull these out yourself and do them. Okay, so now what I'm going to do here, the next thing that you do, and I'm teaching you some old terminology and how we do things. First of all, you're going to parse your data. Get rid of the crap that you don't need in it. You've seen me do this before. So in other words, I've got a redundancy of the years. Get rid of it. Get everything together here. So now the next thing that I want to do here is this is obviously going to be the dependent variable, the exchange rate. Now you could also look at it as the change in the exchange rate, a percentage change, if you wanted to do it that way. You'd lose one data point doing that. But anyway, okay, so now we've got these two data points right here for the first day of January, for the first month, January of 1999. What do you do with it? Well, we could take just the difference of them, okay, and use that as our independent variable. I could say equals the U.S. Euro rate minus the U.S. rate, and use that one as my independent variable. How does the difference between the euro rate and the U.S. Treasury rate drive the effect, the exchange rate between the two currencies? That one wouldn't be a good idea for a couple of reasons. One, mostly because as these numbers get bigger and bigger and smaller, that difference is going to naturally get bigger and bigger and smaller in an absolute sense. We might not want that. So another thing we could do is we could do the 10-year rate on the U.S. Treasury, the yield on the U.S. Treasury, minus the 10-year yield on the euro divided by the 10-year yield on the euro. I'm sorry, I said that backwards. Yeah.
Did you say the 10-year yield?
You know what I meant, damn it. No, let me say that again. Let me get that back. Equals. Don't get old, just put yourself in a home. I've told you that. I'm going to my home next week, Sunny Hills Farm. Okay, so I'm going to take the euro 10-year yield, minus the U.S. 10-year yield, divided by all of that difference, divided by the euro 10-year yield. And that would be more a percentage difference in them. So in other words, there was a 23.6% difference in the two yields on January 1 of 1999. Now, here's the stupid pet trick. It used to be absolutely don't ever, ever, ever do this, but now it's done. What you would do is you could take the ratio of them and you take the natural logarithm of it. This makes you look sophisticated AF, and it actually, you'd have to have a theoretical reason why the exchange rate was being driven by the logarithm of the ratio. Fortunately, these days, no one's going to ask you because they're going to be so impressed that you know what a natural log is, they're not going to ask. When I was in, I did one of my field specializations at Ohio State in the PhD program was econometrics. These things that they do nowadays, they literally told us that if we ever did it, they would destroy our careers. Now it's done all the time because you get answers this way. So in other words, what I would do is I would take equals natural log of euro over euro, a U.S. yield. Okay? There would be only one place where that would not work is if one of those yields ever dipped into negative territory. You can't take the logarithm of a negative number. Fortunately, a 10-year yield won't do that. So this is actually a pretty damn viable way to do it. The numbers are much better behaved when you do it this way. They don't fluctuate in any way, shape, or form based upon the size of yields. They are behaving in a... And the regression coefficient has an interesting interpretation. Let me show you something. And I promise that I will keep the high-powered stuff at bay. Essentially, we are proposing that there is a dependent variable y that is driven by the slope times an independent variable plus a y-intercept. And what we are going to do is use data to estimate the y-intercept and the slope. So in other words, if we had a scatter of points, what we are doing is finding a line of best fit. That's the slope. How much the dependent variable changes with respect to the independent variable. That's all we're saying, you know, which is what we'd like to know for exchange rates. How much does this independent variable, how much does the dependent variable, the exchange rate, change with something about the interest rate? And the B would be the y-intercept. In kind of a pig's eye, but it's actually, you're going to see what happens. It's kind of cool. The y-intercept should be zero. We're not going to bother. We're going to let it do what it wants. We can force it to zero later if we wish. But now, let me tell you something. This slope, okay, that's a change, the absolute change in y for an absolute change in x. If I use instead, my model says y equals mx log, y equals m natural log of x, plus b, that m has a very interesting interpretation. The slope is no longer the change in y for a change in x. It is actually the elasticity. Remember that from economics? Elasticity. It is actually a percent change if I use logarithms for the independent variable. It measures something very different from just the change in y for a change in x. The change in exchange rate value for a change in the difference or the ratio of the bond yields. It says, what is the percentage change that will happen? So I'm going to take it back, and I'm going to show you. First of all, we're going to just do it. We're just going to do it with the equals the euro minus the US yield divided by the US yield. Divided by the euro yield, I should say. Okay, here we go. And I'm going to use this to run the regression. Sweep it all the way down, all the way down. I should have labeled this as this array by a name. What the hell? Ooh, that's nasty. This is the next part. You go back and look at the damn data and you say, okay, WTF is going on with this data point. Do you see it? I'll tell you, if I run that regression with that little son of a bitch in there, I'm going to have Excel come up and slap me across the room. So what do you do with a problem like this? What do you do in a situation like this? What I would say is, oh, you can kiss my... You see, okay. Don't ever do this. So now let's do this, okay? If you have, do you see what's causing that? There was an anomalous data point. That data point is what we call my ass. There's no way that could have happened. So what I usually do, if I see something like this, I can eliminate it, which could actually screw up the Excel, or I can say, okay, no. Let's just take the average of the data point before it and after it, for God's sake. Yeah, that's really helpful. Except that the one before it also sucks. So at least it's not crazy out of there. Now let's go back through and make sure there were no other insane things like that happening in there. Now this is part of parsing the data, cleaning it up. The dirty term used to be we are massaging the data, you know. And then in econometrics they said if you massage the data enough, it will bark like a dog for you. We don't say that anymore because it's not appropriate and polite in the class, so I won't say it. Okay, now we've got what we're calling. And always do this. If you've got a lot of data, take the time to go through and make sure there's not something weird in there. It might be a kind of a pain in the butt to do it, but just go through and look at it. As a matter of fact, I do that with grades. I'll run grades, and if I see someone's average, it just doesn't look right to me on the low side, I'll go back and say, what the hell happened here? Oh, this person bombed the midterm, came back on the final. So let's get rid of that midterm, or at least lower its percentage score. You know, and is that cheating? Hell no, I'm the professor. I can do whatever the damn well I want, okay? I don't know, maybe the person had a bender or something. Sometimes I know what it was, and I find out more than I really wanted to. Okay, equals line estimate. Now, you tell it what your dependent variable is. In this case, it's the exchange rate. Now, then, you put in a comma, and you tell it your independent variable. Now, you can put in comma and do more than one independent variable, which is what I'd do if I had an inflation data in there. I could do a bunch of them. But I'm going to run this with the percent difference. Okay? Let's have a look at what happens here. And I'm just going to leave it this way, okay? Now, I can also put in put in true or false, or two comma true comma true. Now the comma first comma would be if I want to force the y-intercept to be zero. I'm going to leave it alone. You'll see what happens. The second one true or false. True or false. That'll give me a bunch of extra statistics, which I'm really not going to be too interested in here. So let's see what happens. Look at that. That's, by the way, that's the y-intercept. The first one will be the y-intercept. See how I said it should be about zero? If one exchange rate is zero, the other one should be zero too, because that's when the apocalypse has happened and zombies are eating our brains. Okay, so yeah, the data is actually kind of telling us something. So maybe this next one. This is telling us that this difference here between the two, the percentage difference between the two, has a 1.2 times the exchange rate overall. That's kind of weird. It just says whatever that percentage difference is, it has a 1.2 times magnifier effect on the exchange rate between the two currencies. That's kind of an odd thing. I mean, what's a euro? Is that how simple it is? Well, maybe. Okay, yeah. No, let's see that. No, yeah, that was the next one. Let's look at that's not exactly the same because that's a multiplier. Let's take these and make these into natural logs. Okay? And in this case, I'm going to say equals natural log of the euro / the 10-year. Here we're actually seeing an essentially like a price elasticity. And then we're going to run these down and see what happens. Ah, look what happened. I was wrong. There were negative yields on 10-year treasuries at one point, which makes the logarithm false. Yeah, you're right. What the hell were they doing? Oh, it's Europeans. They can do it. I think that should, yeah, that'll make the values error. So here's what we do on something like that. See those? We make those go away. Massage is such an inappropriate word for adults, okay? Unless you're in Bangkok. I have to do this one too, because of that other weird thing. That explains why that number was so massive. Okay, well look at that. Doing the logarithm, it does make the y-intercept a little bit bigger, but not really much in there. But notice that the change isn't affected by natural logarithm. The term that we use is that this regression, the exchange rates are robust to the presentation of the data of the independent variable. In other words, it doesn't feel much effect based upon how you do that data. You do it difference, percent difference, natural logarithm, it's going to show up as about the same slope. Percent change versus elasticity. Now, if percent change and elasticity are the same, and you probably weren't taught that this in microeconomics. But if the percent change of, let's say, demand to price and the elasticity are about the same, that means that you have a nonlinear demand curve the elastic. In other words, when we do draw a demand curve like that, we do this all the time. The fact of the matter is that a demand curve that's a straight line does not have constant elasticity, price elasticity. The price elasticity will be different down at high. Up at high prices than it is down at low prices. If you draw a demand curve like this, a hyperbolic demand curve, it has constant elasticity across the demand curve. That's actually more desirable for many products, constant price elasticity. If I am seeing the natural log presentation of the independent variable being very similar to the just the percent change, then what I am probably seeing is an exchange rate that behaves like this against the difference of the curve, the demand curve, the exchange rate demand curve is behaving like that. Doesn't tell us much about the supply curve, which we would assume is almost perfectly vertical for each day. For each month, maybe not. Now I'm going to do another one here. We're going to put in, and I'm going to leave this one the way it is. Equals that. So in other words, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create an autoregressive integrated moving average. In other words, I'm going to say not just affected by the current interest rate differential, it's also affected by the interest rate differential that happened a month before. And then I'm going to run this whole mess again, but I won't be able to use the first point data point. I will use line estimate of the exchange rate. Now let's use this data point to start with because I don't have that first data point loop. With two independent variables. The first independent variable is going to be the current, rather this one, the current for that exchange rate, comma, the lag exchange rate. Now, before I get up, that second slope, if it is zero or close to zero, that means that the 1 month previous interest rate differential doesn't mean anything. It's not driving anything. If it is different from zero, noticeably, that would mean that interest rates are being affected not just by the current interest rate differential, but by the interest rate differential 1 month prior. Survey says. What did I do wrong? It's not spitting out where I want it to. Data. F3, F25. I should be looking, it should have given me the, what I wanted there, and it's not giving me what I want. No X's, no Y's. I wonder if it's not going to be able to do it in this version of Excel. This might be an older version of Excel. You should be able to give it two data sets. This is second B right here. Virtually zero. So in other words, the lagging months interest rates don't have hardly any effect whatsoever on the current exchange rate. They're not a predictor at all. Now let's see if we take out this month. And let's see if we put in just last month equals line estimate of the exchange rate against last month's interest rate differential. And let's see if taking out this month causes any effect, what gets that number to show any life at all. Again, if it's too close to zero, that would indicate that there really isn't anything going on. It probably won't be right zero because those are probably multicollinear. Okay, let's see it. Virtually the same. Yeah, virtually the same. So in other words, it's all the previous months are doing is reflecting this month's effect. That's all it's doing. So in other words, there's really no, you get nothing out of having a lag in your interest rate. Looking at a lag. Now if I put in the inflation rate, I'd probably get some kind of effect there too. Matter of fact, that might absorb some of the effect from the interest rate differential. But as you can see, the way it looks to me now is that, yeah. Where the hell did I just put that? Okay. It looks to me as if the exchange rate, the current exchange rate, is going to be about 1.21 times the logarithm of the approximately zero. So in other words, the euro, US exchange rate is going to be about very consistent around 1.21 time that the logarithm of that difference in the foreign and home. Let me do one more quick dirty thing here. I am going to put in comma. I'm going to put in false before the y-intercept is zero. And then comma, true, to show the additional data, like correlation and all this kind of stuff, how well the points line up. Watch. And that would be an answer. They don't line up. And that y-intercept actually does have an impact. Wait, I did that wrong. I wanted B2 against E. I screwed that up. That's what it's wrong. E2. I want to go back to the original model. Oops. Equals. Let me do this. Exchange rate. Oops. Nope. Exchange rate. Do this right, equals line estimate. Of the exchange rate. I apologize for not watching that. Exchange rate. Against the log of the data point. Comma, false, we're going to force the y-intercept to zero, and then true, and then have a look, see what we get. Let me take that out of there. Not all that impressive. Oh, yes it is. That's the amount of error between the prediction that the line gives and the actual data point. In other words, what did that equation say? And what was the actual exchange rate? What did the equation say the exchange rate could be? And what did the equation say? What did the equation say the exchange rate could be, would be based on that equation? And what was the actual exchange rate? And that the error is what you're seeing there, that 0.0138. There was about a 1.4% error between the actual and the predicted according to this model. That's what it's saying. So that's not, I would think it was the actual correlation. It's not the correlation, it's the error in the prediction. So in other words, in any given month, I would say put in the interest rate differential, multiply by 1.21, and get the estimate of the exchange rate. Compare that estimate to what actually the exchange rate was. What, on average, was the error in the prediction? 0.01. That's pretty damn good. That's awfully good. What this tells us, now obviously I would want to put in the inflation for a multivariate approach, But it looks like from this model, at least for the euro and the US dollar, most of the exchange rate is caused by the difference in the two interest rates. That's what it's telling us, is that the interest rate differential is pretty much the whole nine yards in the exchange rate. So going back to what we talked about, what's in the book and what I talked about in class, the exchange rate is affected by the change in the inflation rate, the change in the all of these kinds of things. What this is telling us is that it's the interest rates, almost exclusively for the euro. Now, you'd want to do it for any given currency. Instead of just the euro, you would want to do it for different currencies to see if this, if there was all of this interest rate was the primary cause of driver of exchange rates. But if you think about it in a way, yeah, inflation in the two countries can, if they are different inflation rates. But that's not what we say. It would be changes in the different in inflation rates that would drive it. But that probably wouldn't be a very big effect for a developed country. Their inflation rates would tend to move about the same percentage over time. So that would mean that there really wouldn't be any effect. The real effect would be on the interest rate differentials that were happening. That's how you do these kinds of data sets. And there is actually something you can download called an analysis pack. They can do a lot more regression type of stuff. But here, you've got kind of basically the whole idea here. It's an interest rate. Exchange rates are driven by the difference in exchange rates are driven by the difference in interest rates in two countries. Period. So if I were to say predict one forward, okay, equals let's say that the interest rate in the U.S. on a 10-year, we'll do foreign, in Europe is, let's say, 1.6, and in the United States, it's 1.5 divided by 1.5. Whoops. We'll take the natural log of that. And then we will multiply that equals times this slope times that. Let's not put another set of parentheses here. Plus the y-intercept. That little y-intercept there. I did something wrong with that. Equals the natural log equals the y-intercept That would be the euro rate because of what? That would say that the exchange rate should be about 1.80 euro to the dollar. So in other words, the dollar would go, euro would be appreciated against the dollar in that one. I wish I could bring in the inflation. Let me very quickly show you the inflation data. U.S. inflation rates. Come on. Was that the U.S. inflation rate? And now let me bring in the, that was U.S. inflation rate. Now let me bring in the European inflation rate. And I'm going to put those two together. And you could put those into that other one if you wanted to see the effect. I don't know if I got a complete data set here or not. That was the 1.74 data set. And there's the other one right there. And you could put those into the same sheet. And you could do those, some difference of those, like the same thing that I did here equals this minus this over this. Percent difference, that's percent difference in there. And then you could drag that one down and use that in the multivariate analysis, apparently. Well, nope, that's the problem. Apparently my data sets aren't the same. Really quickly. How far back did that inflation data go? That went from 60 to 2020. Oops. And that went from, 1999. I screwed up. 1999. Let me do it again real quick here. U.S. inflation data. Okay, there's U.S. Control C. We want only 1999. Control C to the present. Control B. Still not lining up for some reason, and I don't know why. Is that? It is. God. Okay. Anyway, you know what I mean by that. But what I was trying to get to was what we have known for some time is that almost exclusively the exchange rates are driven by the inflation, by the interest rate differential. That's about all. Very quickly, just to finish this up, I'm going to actually spread data. This is the database of the Federal Reserve. Now you can get almost anything you want out of this database. Market yield, this is the one I got for that one. And you can do this on a daily basis, a monthly, or an annual basis. Yeah, that was that inflation. I didn't pull the right data set for that one. I could also write, just simply search the database, consumer prices, and what we could do is we could actually go back here, let me pull this back one. and you could choose which one you wanted, monthly, not seasonal. And also, one more thing, don't do seasonal adjustments. Always do just the non-seasonal adjustments. And then download the database, that's a monthly right there, and then you can download it. And you can do that for anything you want. The one that is actually pretty nice is exchange rates. Like that. Now, if you don't want that one, go back to exchange rate and get the monthly rates. And you can get the monthly rates, which is what you saw that I had there. And then you download that one. The one that I was a little amazed by, forward rate. Euro, dollar. And I don't think it's going to offer. See, it offers the spot, but it doesn't offer the forward, which was one that was mentioned in the book, is using the forward rate for forecasting. You would have to go someplace else to get the forward rates and the spot rates. So there's that. But anyway, that's the basic layout of the model. This is how it's done. Is that you just run a regression against your countries that you want, the U.S. against the country's currency, and then see exactly what that slope or whatever that you want to call that M variable is, and that will tell you what the change, how the exchange rate is affected by the difference in the interest rates between the two countries. That's all I have for you today.